All right, there you go. I'm like, he just disappeared as soon as we went live. I'm like, what kind of setup is this?
Guys, this is 54 seconds into the first show of VPR for 2021. And I know last year, Kiana, we didn't even get into like a wrap-up of last year. We didn't even discuss like what all transpired during that time of 2020. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
But we definitely got to dive into that a little
bit. Do we have enough time to discuss to wrap up 2020? That was one hell of a year, yo. When I was in PR, one of our drivers said we should get a certificate of completion. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. If you made it past 2020, you get a certificate of completion.
You get a certificate of completion. You had to understand if you were a true American, a true patriot. Guys, 2021, we here. Let's just be happy that we're here. Shout out to everyone that made it. Shout out to people that, of course, you know, God forbid, but passed away and things like that. Definitely, I want to send my condolences to all the families affected by COVID during these tough times. But Kiana, we here. I've been hyped to do this show. I've been feeling refreshed with a new energy, and I'm here to bring it for 2021. How you feeling?
No doubt. Me too. I'm excited. I'm so happy that I got a chance to go away and ring in my new year that way, because it just it helped everything to process on a really positive level. I was surrounded by amazing and positive energy. So that's really the way to do it, bro. You know how we are as Libras. We can't be around no toxic energy, man.
No
toxic energy into 2021. That's over. I wasn't even bringing it into 2020. So
I seen you living it up. I was just like, I'm proud. I'm glad. I was so happy to see Kiana. She deserved vacation so much because this woman worked so hard with everything that she does for her family and everything. It just goes on. You know what I mean? So it's definitely, I was happy to see you have that experience.
Yeah, that was great. Kiana,
what's going on? I know you've seen the news and you need to ask us to touch on it.
Okay, first of all, let me give you a little background. So I forget the name of the guy that I follow, but he's a man of color and he's really in the know. So actually he did a whole live broadcast that Facebook kept cutting off the day before. So yesterday, or no, the day before yesterday, Tuesday, he did a live broadcast telling everybody in DC to be careful because they were about to storm the Capitol, like dead ass. He was talking all about it. There were hundreds and hundreds of people just commenting. Some of them were like, you're crazy. Other ones are like, yo, bro, that's crazy. He's like, just stay safe. You know, this is what they're trying to do, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, I'm over it. You know, I cut off the news quickly because it's such negative information and, you know, negative in, negative out. So if it's not going to process and make me feel better, I don't want it. And not to say I'm not in the know of what's going on, because I'll get my update, but you know, these stories will run continuously every single day. I think about 9/11 and how depressed I was after 9/11. I had that TV on consistently, just watching.
And I was going deeper
and deeper and deeper. Right. So there needs to come a time where you say to yourself, okay, this is too much. I get the gist of the story. My family's safe. My people are safe. I'm getting off of this for a minute and I'm going to get my mind right. Because my thing for 2021 is this. We already had a hard ass year, right? I'm not going to start off 2021 continuing to take in information, especially in regards to like the Republicans and let them all blow each other up, set each other on fire. I could care less. That Capitol building, I could care less. If you're not storming my home, you feel me? My people's home, my brother's, like, you already know how I feel about politics. He's got to get out anyway. So what the point of it is crazy. But I think what really, it's not even perplexing or mind-blowing. What's really sad is to see how much privilege is there and what they can get away with.
That's what I wanted to tap into. That's exactly what I wanted to tap into.
Because we know what it is. There's no way people would be scaling the wall and wouldn't be getting shot down.
You see, and that's what we got to tell.
They had that melanin.
They definitely, that melanin makes a difference. And in America, this is a time for you to see in plain display of what's going on. You know what I mean? VPR, of course, we talk everything as far as news and hip hop and the culture, but this affects the culture. I, as a black man, sat down and watched people storm our Capitol.
Yep.
And some people will say, oh, the other side isn't right either. I get that. It takes two wrongs to make a right. But what you're doing is, this is what a patriot does. Count me out. Count me out. Because I've tried multiple times to sit there and, you know, champion Donald Trump. Not even champion him, disrespect him as our president. And I think as Americans, we all supposed to try to. But there's certain things that he did on a personal level that just rubbed me the wrong way, that bothered me. Like the way a man carries himself about others, I pay attention to that. The character of a man, PPR, you know what I'm saying? You have to pay attention to the character of a woman. Would you allow someone to do the things that Trump did in your family, in your household? Would you allow him to say the words that he said in your family, in your household? Hold that man to the same standard, just like I hold our other politicians to the same standard, whether they're color of their skin, whether the party that they're in. And that's what I want to bring into 2021. Keep it on this TV and getting your own information and making up your own mind, but just, you know, don't buy into what's always being shown to us. And that's the best way I can put it, at least from what I've seen yesterday, while it infuriated.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention, it's all about manipulation, puppeteering, and getting a reaction from the crowd. So I think even back to, like, I'll take it back to a couple of weeks ago with XRP. You know, XRP is that Ripple Bitcoin that people have been going back and forth. Should we get it? Shouldn't we get it? Should we dump it? So, you know, me and my Kibi knowing conspiracy theory. But the funny thing is, the stuff that I say is what's happening. I'll go into these rooms, even like on Clubhouse. I just joined an investment room on Telegram, and they talk about this stuff.
You're going to touch on Clubhouse before I get joined.
We got to take Clubhouse by storm. But what's up, baby Paul? I see you in a corner. We're going to bring you in a few minutes.
What's going on?
So the SEC filed a claim against Ripple, right? And immediately there were press releases. Everything was going out. Now, I think Ripple is like 23 cents or something. When I bought it, it was like maybe 15 cents. So I bought like $40 worth, but it comes out to be big. But when you think about what Bitcoin was just at the beginning of 2020, it was 3,000 per Bitcoin. 3,000, okay? We're not taking it back to when it was $10 and $5. So I'm like, I'm going to buy my XRP. A lot of people started panicking because of that SEC suit. And I saw press releases all over the place and news talking about crypto and XRP and blah, blah, blah. Everybody started dumping. And you know what happened when they dumped their shares? The big corporation started buying it up because, you know, there's a market cap. And that's what happens. The scare tactics that happen to get reactions from not just the American people, but people all over the world, you're ingesting that media, which is puppeteering, not to say some things aren't true, but a lot of it is manipulation or there's a mission of facts. And the minute you just react to things emotionally, I don't react emotionally, not even in life. So definitely not with finances and not with what the press is doing, because they want to get a reaction from you. And if you give them the reaction, then they win. In the meantime, I'd rather win for 2021. So I'm not even worried about it yet.
And we got to put it on record. Shout out to all arguing under all posts and things like that. Listen here, guys, you can post what you want. Understand, history will look back at you and judge you for what has happened. They won't remember the individual, but they'll remember that individual that caused it. So understand when you're social media justicing and things like that, trying to prove a point for that man that doesn't stand up for you, remember that. Because in a year from now, he's going to be pushing it again. Mark my words. But remember how we was talking on Clubhouse? I've been this platform, Clubhouse, as much as it's amazing, it comes with a detriment. I'm starting to see artists now, all hip hop artists, all genre artists, they're on Clubhouse giving them free content. Clubhouse is, of course, a new platform, but they're not making money off Clubhouse, and they're giving all these information. And it's a great place for business minds to meet. But what I'm starting to see is rappers are going there arguing amongst each other, like the Meek Mills and you know, the 21 Savages. And I'm just like, yo.
See, that's why I don't go into those rooms.
That's all the media coverage. All the Instagram models are going there now and throwing out their Cash Apps.
Ain't nobody got time for that. And that's exactly what I said would happen.
I just checked the statistics for Clubhouse. Do you know the woman to man ratio is 4-1? So that's why a lot of these guys are going on there and they're showing this bravado and they're starting to argue in front of women. Jay Prince is arguing with other people. Meek Mill's calling people bitches. Rappers are now trying to join so they can just randomly spark beef so they can get the clout. 2021 is bringing cloud coaching.
It's basically turning into Instagram without the visual.
Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy right now. So the more I see it, I'm like, Clubhouse is a great platform when you're trying to get business done.
Yep.
But the way it's going, the way people are adding more people and just coming in just to stir a ruckus while you have people trying to conduct business and network, it sometimes rubs me the wrong way, man. You're jumping in these rooms with 100 people, 50 people, and everyone's spouting off at their mouth. People are watching that, you know, so you don't know their motives also.
There's a lot of capping. But see, this is why, well, first of all, I don't jump into those big rooms. If I go into a room and there's 500 speakers and 5,000 people, I don't. Because the minute you jump in, there's like 30 people talking at once. So there's no professionalism, no structure. I don't want it. I am on Clubhouse with a very particular goal in mind, and that is to grow my business. And I used it 1 week before going to PR. I jumped back on the other day, but even jumped on a couple of times during PR. And I've already started learning way more about cryptocurrency, more about real estate, and then
as I should,
and option trading. So depending on, and this is what I say about all social media, right? Because a lot of people like to say social media ruins relationships, social media ruins children. No, it's not social media, it's how you use it. Okay. If you use it with purpose, you'll get your purpose. If you abuse it, that's what you're going to get in return. So if you're there for, you know, I know they had like a live stripper room the other day. Like,
I'm in there.
The champagne room?
You see what I'm saying? I'm in there now and like the top Instagram models are all in. I'm looking at this and they're throwing out their cash apps. I'm like, look at what the platform is becoming. Not to say it's against term of use or anything like that. But it's just like 2021, you can't make this up. Like, it's the year of monetizing your worth and I'm all for it. But sometimes monetizing and begging is completely two different things for me.
Completely different.
You get what I'm saying? So,
and I'll say this about Clubhouse, which a lot of people don't realize because many people don't look into terms and conditions when we just check the box. They record everything. So I hope you guys aren't on there doing any illegal business because everything that you say can and will be used against you in the court of law.
If y'all ain't seen Rowdy Rebel, 6ix9ine, and every rapper that's getting indicted, Casanova, and every rapper that's getting caught in these RICO cases, and you online and you still like perpetrating this character, then good for you.
Big
just
cap.
Keep it far away. You get what I'm saying? It's getting out of hand. 2021 crimes are getting committed on cameras. But we here for it though. The culture, we here for it. And when we send you our Clubhouse invite, it's so professional and there's so much information that you can learn for it. So join the VPL Clubhouse when we're inviting you. I appreciate that. Man, we had our first Clubhouse chat room, right? And
that was great.
It was amazing. Thank you to everyone that joined it. Kiana ran the show because she had that. She knew more of the platform than I did at that time.
I'm like, say something, FMI. I don't want to take on the whole thing.
Kiana, you know how we get in a room and we observe people's energy. So when I'm on Clubhouse, I'm listening, I'm observing people's energies, and I try to watch their motives. And when you have 50 people in a room, VPR, and you don't know none of them, you tend to listen more. At least I do. I'm not going to store everything up. You feel me?
That's right.
But you know what I'm proud of?
What?
You know our Libra sister, Cardi B?
Yeah.
Her child, I forgot her daughter's name, but her daughter walked out while she was playing WAP. She walked out and playing what? And I like what she did. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's a human side to it. That showed a more human side to it. Even though you could create this music, you still, you know, kids are still watching. I'm glad that she's aware from that. She's not like detached from it. Because if you really pay attention to all her music,
how long do you think that's gonna last though? It doesn't matter what you keep your kids away from. They're gonna practice what they see in front of them. And I'll tell you that. Being a mom of six, they don't care what you say. I mean, they might, but they're gonna do what they see. You know that whole "do as I say, not as I do."
That's a real thing.
So, do you think that when culture starts private school or whatever, other little 5-year-olds aren't gonna be like, "Is this your mom?" Let's keep it real.
But you don't think the
Kardashian West kids are gonna be seeing their mom and Ray J? When they get to school, you know when they're around other people, and kids, and especially kids that have money, okay, because now they're coming with their own privilege. They have their own phones. Say what?
I think when it came to like either with the Ray J sex tape thing, as far as Kim Kardashian, I think at that time, we were just figuring out how to monetize things that go wrong. Kim Kardashian turned that whole situation around by trying to put the tape out.
And not just that, so, she enabled her whole family.
That's what I'm saying. She's changed the way we do entertainment by buying into gimmicks and selling certain things. So in that way, I applaud her. You know what I mean? She made a business out of it.
I applaud it too. However, she's going to have come to Jesus moments when it comes to her kids. I guarantee you. And those are things that money can't salvage when your kid loses respect for you.
Look at that. You know, now Kim is already filing for divorce and the divorce lawyers now. And I sat there, I tried to put myself in her shoes. I'm like, I'm not going to speak negatively upon Kanye, but, you know, he has been in the media just looking wild for like a strong 2-3 years. And just on his political beliefs, but, you know, not going to knock him. And while she held it down, at least what I think she held it down, at least she never came out and spoke against her husband.
Okay.
She just always championed him and said, oh, you know, he's off his meds, he's this, that, and the third, but she never spoke to the public. So when it comes to Kim, I try to give her the benefit of the doubt with all that situation. And I'm like, who wants to go through
it? I give everybody a benefit of the doubt, and Kim is also a Libra. Okay? Oddly enough. She's a September Libra. She has the same birthday as my sister Joviana. So we're actually talking about two Libras, and then Cardi B has my birthday. She's 10/11. So that's crazy, right? Again, just being a mom, and even being a mom that hasn't always made best decisions, because we don't, you know what I mean? Your kids emulate what they see. Yeah. And that's why, like, even in my marriage, just being unhappy, no matter how much you're trying to keep things together for the sake of like your kids, they can see through that. You know what I'm saying? So, and I didn't want my kids to go seeking out relationships that were unfulfilling and stuff. So I knew I had to get away. So my whole thing is like, no matter what you do, just be careful, because if you ever plan on becoming a parent, in this digital age, maybe back in the day, you didn't have to worry about it. There was no YouTube, this and that. In this digital age, you're going to have to answer to your kids at some point.
Answer to your kids, answer to your wife. In a digital age of dating, especially during COVID, with dating and getting to know someone, that has changed the landscape of everything. You know what I mean? Regular dates are a thing of the past now, just like people working right now. They can work from home. COVID has sped up the process of what we needed to get to as far as like with digital currency, as far as where we're heading in this era. That's what I'm feeling.
How interesting. Timed, perhaps, but whatever. Depopulization techniques, I don't know, you know, but whatever. I want to introduce our amazing guest for today, who's about to join us. Super producer Baby Paul, aka BPZ. You might remember him when he came through with Crossroads, and we had such a phenomenal interview. But he's here solo today. We can't wait to get to talk to him one-on-one. Super excited. I'm gonna bring him into the stream, and we're gonna get it popping. And for you guys,
blessings. Thanks for having me. How y'all doing? What's up, FMI? Happy New Year. What's up, Kiana?
What is popping?
Blessings, King and Queen. Thank you. Same to you, man. Thank you for having me.
We're happy to have you here. We're thrilled, man. How are you doing?
Wow. I was just entertained by that conversation, man. I kind of want to add my 2 cents because, you know, from personal experience, in reference to Kanye in particular, and I won't get too long-winded. I mean, I met him earlier in his career. Like, we're talking about when he was living in Hoboken, New Jersey, with his mother. May she rest in heaven. And he was a producer for Rockefeller Records, just up and coming. You know, I watched, because being a working producer in this business for the time that I've been in it, I've watched people come in, be humble, down to earth, you know, hungry to just do great music and share their art and earn a living from it. And then the fame that just changes people, you know what I mean? So I watched him from his humble beginnings and met him then. And I actually worked with Consequence, which is a good friend of mine and one of his very close associates who was a ghostwriter for some of his music and contributed on behind the scenes with his record label, Good Music. And, you know, just watched the transition from the producer to the rap star, you know?
Yeah.
I think I did a record with them independently right before his first album, Rockefeller Records. And then years later, after his first couple of albums, I saw him again in Atlanta backstage at the Glow in the Dark tour. That was a tour where he was on tour with NERD, which is Pharrell's group, and Rihanna, when she was just about to break into superstardom. Around that time frame, he had the
Girl Gone Bad, right?
He had the graduation album. He had the graduation album at that time. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, from that Kanye early in Jersey to the Kanye that was a potential rock star, it was just a difference. You know what I mean? And I can't imagine the pressures and that you go through. I mean, look at us in our regular lives with what we do and the dynamics we deal with between personal and business and professional relationships, and just having that level of iconic status and fame attached to it is so hard to keep your sanity. You know what I'm saying? So I empathize with him because he's a very, very good dude, very talented dude. And you know, he definitely took some losses right in front of the public, like losing his mother, you know, and then became assimilated with the whole Kardashian family, which became his family, you know, like, I mean, I don't know the relationship with his father or whatever, but I could see that the Kardashians is his complete foundation along with his kids. So I feel like all of those factors play a part in his decision-making, the way he thinks, the way he interacts with people.
I agree.
Even how he manages friendships. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, let's definitely pray for him, man. You know what I'm saying? But,
I agree. Yeah. And we were talking about this last time because people were talking about like his mental health. This was years, months ago when we were back in the studio and remember people were like, his mental health is breaking down. And that's when Kim came forth and was like, well, he's not on his medication. And, you know, just personally from a standpoint of wife to husband, she didn't even need to be making comments. She needs to be, if he's missing being on his medication, get off the red carpets and go spend time with him and help him get back on his medication. It's now your job to help your husband get back on track. Unfortunately, I can say that of all the black men that I see step into this family and then right back out, it's like no good will come of it. It's like that Color Purple curse.
Yeah. I can get deep into like cultural differences, you know, like us being black Americans raised in somewhat urban environments, some people underprivileged environments, and then being like pushed into this whole other energy with, with that family. Yeah. She was raised completely differently, you know, and Lord knows if Kanye wasn't Kanye, those two paths would have never met.
Let's just be real.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I could just honestly say the Kanye I met then, very grounded, very cool, very down to earth. I didn't see any signs of any mental health issues.
Right.
I'm just going to say that.
And we know that all too often, unless you naturally like are born with a chemical imbalance, mental health can deplete based on traumatic situations and things that occur in your life. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You can definitely fall into depression, fall into anxiety, you know, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And that's the hard thing about being a celebrity too, right?
Right. That adds to it.
Yeah. It's you don't need to be coming for these people because that's all they live, you know. And then social media, which we were just talking about, just takes it further. People just start trolling.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's a different time. It's definitely when I started my career in the 90s, it was a different time. None of this stuff existed. It's crazy. So you're
right. Now they'll drag you on Instagram and they'll make a whole meme about you and your meme will go viral. I mean,
just a touch on it. I'm looking back, I'm going through my old Instagram posts and I'm archiving some of them. Because you know, the minute you blow up, people will go back to those old tweets, those old posts.
Right.
And they'll grab it and they'll run with that. Depending on your start, you'll run with that. You have to be prepared for that. Once you step into that start and you say, hey, I want to step into the music industry, you are now leaving a part of your life to the world that you have to.
Yep. You're automatically a public figure.
And out there, we probably all sit here and spend days where we're posting online when we don't really feel like it. But we have that front up because we know we're our brand. We know we're doing business. You know what I'm saying? So I want to hear a little bit about your career in the 90s and how you got started and how different it is from that. Because you said that.
Yeah, definitely different. I started out as an intern at Power Play Studios in Long Island City. That was the recording studio of the time where albums like Eric B. and Rakim's Let the Rhythm Hit Him album was being made. KRS-One's The Blueprint album was being made. Kool G Raps wanted that, or live albums being made. I don't know how far back I'll go into like classic hip hop albums, but I was around like literally before making a name for myself with that. Huh?
No. Oh. Keanu,
I didn't realize I was muted. I was like, I go back, but you could definitely school FMI.
She's like, I know all these albums. Please, please. If please pay back how much hip hop you was listening to, you know. But and as I was interning, I was just learning the ropes and networking and building relationships and learning how to make beats and record everything. So it wasn't until around 93, 94, I was good friends with Mr. Walt, the DJ and producer of Black Moon, along with Evil D. He was running a record store called The Music Factory in Jamaica, Queens, which is where I was living at the time. And we became very good friends. And then I started like coming out to Bushwick, Brooklyn, where they had the home studio and was like making beats and developing ideas. And
were then you the in legendary- the basement?
Yeah, pretty much.
You see what I'm saying? It all starts great.
Crates of vinyl records everywhere, drum machine, keyboard, yeah. You know, the classic, you know what I'm saying? And Evil D was the demoing beats for his group Black Moon at the time, and DJ Chuck Chill Out, legendary DJ Chuck Chill Out, gave him an opportunity with their first record, Who Got the Props? You know what I mean? And that's what led to the inception of Black Moon. And then by the time they did their first album, I would come in and just like share ideas. I didn't take any production credit for any of the music on that first album, but I shared ideas with Evil D and Walt, which led to records like I Got You Open and a few other joints on the album. And it wasn't until we did the second album when Smith & Wesson was introduced to the fold of what became the Boot Camp Click. I got my name up and started producing records for them, you know what I'm saying? And the rest is history. But I will share some experiences based on the inception of this conversation we've been having. So okay, what I'll say is that there was no social media. There was no digital recording at that time. We were recording analog recording on actual 2-inch reels back then. And, you know, so many, bro, I'll just say I was in studio sessions where next door Jay-Z was working on the first album. You know what I'm saying? Or next door Biggie was recording Kicking the Door or Ten Crack Commandments for Premiere. It was beat miners in the A room, Premiere in the B room, and a couple of sessions, the legendary Easy Mo B was doing like Lost Boys and stuff like that in the other room. You know what I mean? D&D Studios is like just a legendary studio in New York City, located on like West 37th and 8th, like right near Times Square. Mm-hmm. So just imagine that time, all of those artists coming in and out of the same building, albums being made on their levels of success back then. We're talking about Jay pulling up, Jay pulling up in a Lexus or something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Big pulling up in like a Lexus truck, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And man, just vibes. And even way before I got the opportunity to work with Nas, he had recorded stuff for Primo in there too, like some of his earlier work with Primo. I think it was around the time he was doing stuff for like the I Am album. That's when I first saw Nas. I wasn't around when he did Illmatic. That was mostly Lars Professor and you know, the legends that were involved back then, you know. But fast forward, I got to work with him on Stillmatic. So, you know, life is crazy. You just never know.
No
doubt. But I mean, smoking sessions, you know, people battling on video games and shooting pool and that kind of stuff. That was the vibe then.
Right. Like, and then whatever craziness was going down or might have been going down.
Right.
It wasn't going to be recorded.
Exactly.
It stayed there. Where was that? It stayed there.
Exactly. You know, I remember when Dave Dash is trying to get Mary in the studio to do the vocals for Can't Knock the Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy, right? Yeah, same studio. You know what I'm saying?
That's what, you know, while I sit back and I'm hearing it, I'm looking at it like, did you think at that time hip hop would get to where it's at now? Like when you were in those studios and you were hearing those sessions.
That's a good question.
When you were in there.
Like, put it this way, in the 90s, it was more than becoming a worldwide phenomenon. Because, I mean, thanks to the efforts of like legends like Run DMC in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? You know, where people from Japan and all that was consuming hip hop. But like from even when I started to now, it's just completely something else. You know what I mean? Some in a good way and some in a bad way. I feel like the digital age has made things more accessible in a good way, but then it's also made it where we got to deal with more disposable art. And what I mean by that is just people who just think they're talented and get away with a record just because they got a nice beat, you know what I mean? And they got a little software on their computer and they get lucky, you know what I mean? As opposed to people who are real curators of art and respect the architects that came before them and know the music and approach making music with that respect, you know what I'm saying? Which is important, you know?
Oh, I love the way you said that. And we always talk about the necessity to playing homage, you know, paying homage to those that came before you in any industry, definitely in hip hop, because hip hop hasn't even been around 100 years. You know what I mean?
Not exactly. Like,
we're still building. There was a time barely 50 years. There was a time when, you know, you couldn't play hip hop in the clubs. You couldn't play hip hop at the party. So the fact that we've built it tremendously, you got to pay homage to those that came before you. I love how eloquently you use the term disposable art. And I think that that's all too true. I do think the beautiful thing, though, about music is, and any art, really, it's going to be about, it's eventually going to become about your talent, because then it shows with your longevity. These people that come out with something, one hit, you might not hear again from them in 20 more years. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many artists that are like that right now. Like, I can't keep up with the names of all of the new artists.
We're not even going to go there.
I try to get my daughter to help me out.
More than enough.
Which one is that one again? The hustle, you know?
Yeah. And what's so funny, Kiana, is that these kids, because they're into the music of the moment, they think that's it.
Yeah.
And then when you're like, that's not it. They're looking at you like you're crazy, like you have no idea.
Crazy.
You need to do your homework a little bit, because that's what the power of YouTube is. It allows you to educate yourself on music if you take the time to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No. And just speaking of patriarchs and legends and contributors to the game, I just want to say a rest in peace to Ecstasy Houdini, who recently passed away.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up on classic 80s hip-hop, you know, Houdini, Run DMC, LL, Beastie Boys, all of that. So, you know, I felt that. It was like a power, you know, like the Jedi, you know, you were feeling the force, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if y'all go back to that first Houdini album, man, musically and lyrically, you could, those records are timeless.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know,
Kiana, I was sitting there and I came across a post, right? It was Rich the King. And he said, the reason why a lot of our older hip hop acts, I'm making it sound good, because he said it way.
Yeah. a whole different way.
I don't want to curse and stuff being like that as much.
Right.
Could though. But the reason why a lot of these hip hop acts are mad at the younger generation is because they still don't own their masters. And when you said that, I sat back like, I was like, they're probably not mad. I'm like, but what he's saying has some like traction.
Because it does have validity.
Does have validity. But I'll say this. A lot of the new artists don't have their masters either. They don't even know what owning your masters really means. They think if they distribute through TuneCore, CD Baby, or whatever, that they fully own their masters. But they don't even know you're still owned. So,
it's
like you just said about YouTube, it's so essential to learn your business. You're signed to a label, you don't own it unless that's in your contract. You know what I mean? They're always going to be trying to take your masters, your publishing. Yeah. So it's funny that they'll say that, but you see Lil Wayne is a new artist, right? You see him selling his.
I was going to touch on that. He sold Drake's and Nicki Minaj's catalog.
Yep.
So you have to understand.
He did a Beatles move. Like
and, he took their masters, which is why he was able to sell them, right? Now, Nicki Minaj, Drake, two of the biggest hip-hop artists, right, over the last 10 years, and they didn't even own their shit. So what does that tell you?
Thank you. Look at that. Look at that. And look at Drake's the biggest artist.
And it says a lot because they, I mean, it's public knowledge that Young Money started through Wayne, and both of those artists have acknowledged Wayne's contribution to their inception and their opportunity being in this business.
Right.
But, you know, it took them selling records and proving their value to be in the space they're in now. Here's the thing. What if they had reached a certain point where in the beginning they negotiated, well, if I sell this amount of records, I want my masters to revert back to me.
That's right.
But you know, that's
how I'll give you a certain amount.
Right. With your attorney, you know?
Yeah. You're not being proactive in your thinking when they're saying, we'll give you $250,000 up front, blah, blah, blah. You're like, where do I sign? Because you're not thinking about your business, and you'll sign your life away. Like literally your masters, that ownership, that's your generational wealth. That's the key to your future, for you, for your kids. You don't give that stuff up. And if you know better, if you do better, you do better.
Yeah. And it's a gamble because new artists, when they're coming in, they don't know how successful they're going to be. They know they're in a space for the opportunity to be successful. Right. But Drake and Nicki didn't know how big they were going to get until it happened. They knew they were down Wayne and Young Money and Cash Money, which is the platform that could create that opportunity.
Right.
But, you know, if you think ahead on the business, like you just said, you can protect your interest for the future.
And that's how you should be approaching anything, right? If you know, when I started working in the fashion industry, like I wasn't like, I started as a receptionist. I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a receptionist for the next 20 years. I was like, how can I completely, what's the next, what's the next step? This, that, and the third, what does it take to get to director? And what does it take to get to CEO? You know what I mean? Right. You need to go in thinking like, if I blow and my plan is to blow, because that's what you're doing music for, right? Mm-hmm. You got a purpose to it.
Of course, right.
Make sure you have your stuff tied together because
cross your T's, dot your I's. Yep.
Yeah, you don't want to come back and look at it in retrospect and say, "Damn, like
You know, I'm looking at
hindsight is 2020.
I'm looking at acts like Soulja Boy and so many other artists that are like, "Oh, I deserve more acclaim. Like I was the one that did this ringtone rap," and I'm like, "Yes, you did." And I understand while living in that moment, you have to capitalize off it even more. And he has. He built a successful career off that one song and made more songs. But as I'm seeing all these artists arguing now about who owns who and begging for their masters back, and Kanye saying, of course, back then saying he's giving back his masters to Big Sean, I'm just hoping that artists are paying attention to what's going
on. Correct. Because Jay did it. You know, he worked it out where he got the masters back to Reasonable Doubt, you know, years later. You know, and he came in as a label, but because him and Dame are parted ways, his business partners, that played a factor in terms of ownership. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think if you're coming in as your own business, as your own entity, that's the starting point to being able to own as much of your content from the inception as possible. Otherwise, you're a slave. You're a slave to the rhythm.
So let's drop a couple of gems on that. I really want to learn about how you started, you know, in production and then said to yourself, okay, I got to learn the business behind this, split sheets. Like, how did you start figuring out, you know, what was that pivotal moment where you said, okay, this is fun, I love it, but I need to get paid and I need to make sure my business is handled. And then how did you do
that? Very good question. Nobody that's interviewed me in years has asked me that question. I'm going to answer it very accurately. You ready? All right, here we go. We go take them to school real quick. So the first 5 years of my career, I was producing as part of the B-Miners, Evil D, Mr. World. We produced groups like Black Moon, Smith & Wesson, Helter Skelter, for Duck Down Records. Duck Down Records first was, before it was a record company, it was a management company managing all the groups, starting with Black Moon. And Black Moon was signed to an independent dance label called Nervous Records. They were known for putting out dance music. Initially, when they did Black Moon, they were just experimenting with doing hip hop music. And the reason why Who Got the Props did so well, which is their very first hit single, is because they didn't market it as a hip hop record. They targeted the dance music market too. So it could get that radio transition in terms of airplay, because it was an up-tempo record, melodic, nice bounce. For that time, it fit in the realm of how you market dance music, not just rap music. Mm-hmm. And this was an independent label, so that's why it was so successful. So anyway, fast forward, like within that first 5 years after they put out music through Nervous Records, that's when Duck Down Smarted Up started their label, Duck Down Records. They did a deal with Priority Records, owned by Brian Turner. Brian Turner is the same person that you saw in the Straight Outta Compton movie that the Ice Cube was flipping out on for his money. Remember that?
Yeah.
Brian Turner. You know what I'm saying? He owns Priority Records. He was behind all of that. And he did a deal with Duck Down. So Duck Down was the only East Coast label that Priority was distributing at that time. We're talking about like 95, 96.
Right.
So on the strength of a lot of the work that I was doing behind the scenes, I helped them demo records from the transition of the first Black Moon and Smith & Wesson album, Nervous Records, to when it went to Priority. And they got their deal off of demos that I did, which is why on the Helter Skelter album, I got the most songs on there. Like, I produced like 5 records on that album.
Right.
So I learned a lot from all of that happening, you know, like being a fly on the wall, not just being a producer, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And saying, okay, I'm seeing how they're doing business. So that was my education, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't go to college for none of this. Right. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just learning. Yeah, I'm watching and I'm learning. And I'm like, okay, they're basically putting themselves in position off of my music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was making money. You know, I was getting, for that time frame, getting nice checks per record I produced, getting my publishing, my credits, my points, all of that. Wonderful. Right. But then I'm saying, all right, after that, then what? You know what I'm saying? And I had to learn the hard way that even with that I was earning, DuckDown wasn't recouping all of the marketing dollars that Priority was putting into the label. Mm-hmm. Even though the records are classics and, you know, as fans, you know the music, but let's just say, I'm gonna do this real quick. Say they spent $500,000 to $750,000 on one of those albums, right?
Right.
After paying for all the music, production, marketing, let's say the album sold $200,000 or $150,000, mm-hmm. and they probably didn't recoup the money that was spent to make their album and market the album. They're in the hole. You dig what I'm saying? So after another 2 or 3 albums, if they keep being in a hole, the major companies no longer want to do business with them.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, we make classic hip hop records.
Right.
But from a financial standpoint, as a business, mm-hmm. it's not enough of a success to go to the next level.
Right. It can't be scaled.
Right. To keep going and keep putting out albums with mm-hmm. this partnership to the point where, you know, like if you're selling 1 million records, then you're more than recouping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I, as the producer, I only made my upfront money, got my credits, maybe get my performance royalties from the airplay. I don't get any money off the record sales because they're behind. They're in debt. So because they're in debt, I don't make money.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? Learning from that, I got to change the way I think. You know, along with being a producer, I want to put myself in a space that I can create enough notoriety in this business that I can get my own deals.
Yep.
I can have my own platform and get my own distributing partner, whereas I could put out records as an executive producer, whether I produce the music or not. I could bring in other producers or whatever the case may be. And the first person that gets a check is my company.
Yeah.
Not the tier of the company, then the producers and the artists.
Right.
You think what I'm saying? Absolutely. So that's the short version, because I don't want to get too long-winded on y'all, but it took the first 5 years of my career to learn behind the scenes everything from the aspect of marketing and distribution you know, budgets, you know, like profit and loss and all of those aspects outside of the creative aspect, to really understand that the business side of this is more important than even being a creative.
That's
If you want to make money.
And this is why we always tell artists, you need to approach this as a business. You just use key terms like P&L, profit and loss. You know what I mean? If you're not approaching these things as a business. I also love that you said you didn't go to school, right, for this. Mm-hmm. But you put 5 years in. You put in more school time than it would take for you to get a degree. You understand? To learn hands-on. A lot of artists, a lot of production, you know, people, they come in, they think they're going to take off. You need to put your time in, man. We always got to put our time in to learn the craft, because even if you do take off, you won't stay right there if you haven't learned how to scale that business. And anything that goes up can come back down. You want to keep going up like Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the level we on right now. Go ahead, FMI.
No. And I'm just like, this is just to show you that we're at a crossroads in the music industry where
crossroads.
Yes, sir. So we're at a crossroads right now in the industry where this information is right there for you guys. So
yeah,
you didn't have to spend all these years. Because I was, when I was at Convict, doing the same thing he was doing, learning. I was 16, 17, 18, watching and seeing how they moved and how they were marketing and sitting in on these meetings while I was taking pens in my little dress suit. So I get you when you did that. You know what I mean? When I didn't have a dollar in my pocket, standing out of a company, out of profit from leaving,
you still got to put the time in. Like that never is removed. Even if it winds up being 18 months, you still got to put that time in. You still got
to put that time in. It's that 5,000-hour rule that you got to get back to. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that we can have a platform like this to discuss this information.
Absolutely. Because it's important.
So, God,
you know,
share it.
It's important. It's definitely important because, you know, especially in this time where we're in a digital age, where there's so many different ways to drug consumers. So, I mean, you see more and more people going viral off of music, no radio play. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, with that understanding, it's like having as much structure to your own business as possible to really reap the benefits is very important.
Oh, yeah. Because like FMI just said, YouTube money, that's exactly what it is. YouTube has most of your money, and you might be getting a small little sliver, but YouTube is holding
you think is great. Understand, guys, artists, musicians, anyone in the entertainment industry, or anything that you do, TikTokers, influencers.
Any craft, yeah.
are providing the content. They need you. It's not the other way around. They could have the platform, but you create everything that they need. They share your content, and they profit off your music, your content. Focus on that before you go out there and do that TikTok. Guess what? That's programming. That's exactly what they want you to do. You know what I'm saying? So just think about that next time you hear your record on Spotify. Think about that when you get your record playlisted. Think about that next time you contact your next producer, of course. Baby Paul, make sure y'all hit him up, and engineer. So make sure y'all hit him up. But we're really here, and it's great to me.
And understanding the numbers now is even more important than ever, meaning understanding the dollar, the pennies on a dollar for per stream and what the value of that is in terms of monetization. So if you're doing 500,000 streams, 1 million streams, 2 million streams, you want to know how that translates into money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And are you keeping track of your streams? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are you on media base? Are you doing everything you need to do?
Correct.
People just talking about YouTube. YouTubers, are you learning to not just distribute on YouTube, but to distribute yourself on your own website to draw your own web traffic? For those for those that subscribe, right? They are now subscribed to your YouTube page. You don't get their email addresses, etc. All of that is the information of YouTube. And yeah, they'll send an email on your behalf, right?
But if you can't reach, you'll get a notification from YouTube.
You'll get a notification, but when they send that email, like so and so just set up a new video, that email address isn't displayed to you. So when you're smarter, right, and the people that are the most innovative, along with yourself, start creating their own platforms to be able to distribute on their own terms, whether it be a label, whether it be a radio show, right, FMI, or your own production company, however it works, when you have been doing the craft and you realize, you know what, this is great, I'm really talented at it, but everybody else is getting paid, and I'm getting slivers, you start taking that creative control into your own hands, and as well as the business control.
And guys, absolutely, don't let these brands fool you. If they're sending you merch and you're wearing their merch, that's free promo for them.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
True. Facts.
Contacting you. If these labels are contacting you and they're reaching out to you, it's because of the music you already put out and you're drawing them in. I mean, they're doing something right. They're finding the right way to monetize it. And that's what VPR is here for, honestly, to give the best information, hip-hop news and all that. But, so, let's talk about the projects that you've been working on, my brother.
Yes, please.
Man.
Please.
Where should we start?
Yeah.
And we got your music, too. Let's not forget.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I had checked with Kiana to make sure, because, you know, I respect everyone's platform. Some people may not want clean or dirty records, depending, you know what I mean? So that's why I was double checking. I have a few records that I couldn't share because I didn't get the clean versions. For example, I worked on AZ's new album, Do or Die 2. That'll be out sometime, I think, second quarter.
Wow.
I have a song with him and Rick Ross coming. It's called Never Enough.
Dope.
I have another song called, I think the working title is real, but it's subject to change, and I think it's going to have Fabulous on the hook. There's a version I did before he recorded his vocals, but I'm just waiting on the confirmation of the finished mix on that. That's the one I wanted to play, but I don't have a clean version. It's not a lot of curses, but I don't have a clean version. I definitely wanted to be, that's what I meant by exclusives, like real, real nice treat for y'all. But as soon as I get a clean version, I'll share it with you.
Yeah,
definitely.
We are with it.
And then, of course, Crossroads, you know, shout out to Super MC, my guy, Detroit Stand Up. We had put out a single right around election season. It was two songs. One's called Hard to Dance, which was like metaphoric for surviving adversity, especially in these times of COVID and crazy election year, which was the end of last year. And another song called Time, which is just about the truth of time. Like, time waits for no man, you know, and nothing is promised, you know what I mean? So use your time wisely. So I gave you all that. Y'all should have time. And then I gave you guys one or two songs from our last EP. One of the songs is called Rise, very inspirational record. And then I think I gave you guys a song called Need More, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I like that record a lot because Need More is just, it's all of us. We always need more, right?
No doubt.
You know, more money, more clothes, a new car, a new crib, a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, whatever it may be. We always need more. Like, we want to take care of family. That's like one of my favorite records we did. So, you know, I wanted to share that. Then as far as new music, I've been working in Philly with a couple of up-and-coming new artists. One is an artist named Dre Carter. Shout out to Tough Struggle Entertainment. He's like, to me, like early Kendrick.
Wow.
He's that good. And when you hear the record and listen to his lyrics and his tone, you're gonna be like, oh, I see what he's talking about. Like he has room to grow. He's up and coming. And then another artist named Sherrod Starks, who happens to be a younger cousin of basketball player John Starks in the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually flying back out to Philly tomorrow to shoot a video for one of the records we did and hit the studio for like 3 days. But this is an exclusive record with DJ No Frills out of, I think he's affiliated with the Fleet DJs and the Core DJs. He kind of hosted the record. It's called Most of Y'all. So that's got Dre Carter and Sherrod Starks both collaborating on that song. Dope. And then an artist out of the Midwest, or one of my childhood friends named Dre Banks, I did a record with him at AZ that I gave y'all a copy of and whatnot. That was called We On. And I'm trying to think, what else I put in there? I put like maybe four records in there, right?
I think it was four or five, I sent them through to Dropbox. So we're going to definitely get you queued up. I'm super excited about our exclusive tracks. We can't wait to hear the other music. I know you also recently did something with Trina, right?
Yes, I did. I wanted to share that too. But we just finished the video. We shot it in Miami recently. I'm going to share a little trailer of the video to you guys. Literally after this interview that you can share on social media, you can tag.
Tag love that.
It was shot by Peter Parker. He's one of the well-known up-and-coming video directors right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he did his thing. You know, the weather was perfect in Miami. We got the cars. Miami was dope. Trina was super cool. You know what I'm saying? She's a legend. And she really came with it. Like, you know how we talk about disposable art and lyrics and stuff like that? You hear Trina, for any dispute about how she raps, she murdered this record. I think the music brought it out. And I'm really, really proud. I really am proud to say that Trina had bars on this record.
That's
like, she sounded really dope. It wasn't just some catchy, simple, you know, like just to get by type. And it's a song concept. It's called Boyfriend, Girlfriend. And, you know, we're going to drop it around Valentine's. It's basically a record for, you know, new couples, you know, guy meets girl, girl meets guy. I want to get with you kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So we had fun with it. I think that'll pretty much cap my first quarter.
Okay. And that's so, just going to...
That'll cap the
pretty strong quarter. Lineup. I'm like, you got a lineup there.
That's a strong lineup, and we just entered 2021.
Oh, I want to shout out Moni Love, legendary female rapper Moni Love, you know, Queen Latifah Forever and all that, Jungle Brother. I got a record with her coming too. We just recorded, but it's not finished. We got to mix it.
Oh my God,
I probably had that out by the summer. Like, we got to have the other side for female rappers. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, she's a legend. No. If you follow her online, go to The Real Moni Love on Instagram. She looks amazing. She's a grown woman. I got a lady, so I'm just saying, she's doing her thing. I'm really proud of her. She looks great. She does radio in Atlanta, and she, you know, I'm helping her put out some new music. So
that is
I'm
so excited right. about that. I still remember Moni in the middle. What?
Yeah, middle. Exactly.
That was 80s. But
this is like a real dope grown folk vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
it's something that, you know, the younger generation get into. It's real cultural vibe. It's dope. It's like vacation music.
I love
if
it.
If you can imagine that, you see how you sipping on that? Now imagine being under the palm tree, sipping on something and then playing this record when you're here.
That was me as of like 2 days ago. I'm still there. I'm still on the palm trees with the drink in my hand.
Definitely.
Tell us about your streaming platform. Because that's just music, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, and I appreciate you paying attention to all the work I've been doing. I recently launched a streaming platform, global streaming platform. It's called HTV, named after my last name, inspired by my dad, who the first entrepreneur in my family. It's a 24/7 global streaming platform distributed by Apple TV, Roku TV, and Verizon. And basically, it's just me doing what I've always wanted to do as a content producer. I want to be able to curate the culture in ways where we can discover new talent through music videos, as well as come across the legends we ain't seen in a while, as well as put out independent films by, you know, film producers from different markets that don't have an opportunity or a platform to put out their movies. Live concerts, you know, like concerts you haven't seen in a while, especially with COVID, we can't go to shows.
Yeah.
So you can tune in and catch a live concert. You can catch a live concert of Nas in Europe, or AZ in Poland, or Jay-Z at Coachella, or Kendrick Lamar at Made in America, and Young Money at Hot 97 in Summer Jam. You know what I mean? Like, I took the time to really curate a lot of content. And it's been a month now. I launched December 1st, officially, in the last year. And I was just thank you. I was just beta testing, you know, just putting up content to see what the feedback is. And then, and the best part of it is, it's no subscription fee. Right. It's free to get the app, you know, like, I don't even want to call it an app. I would just call it a channel, because it's on your smart TV. It's not necessarily on your phone.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Tubi, spelled T-U-B-I. It's a channel that you can get on a lot of streaming platforms where they play a lot of movies. But it's called AVOD, Advertisers Supported Video on Demand, which means that, kind of like YouTube, when you're watching the content, a couple of ads will pop up, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? And then you just keep watching. So I make my money off of the advertising as opposed to charging a subscription fee every month, like a Netflix or Hulu or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah,
we like that. We like free, great, curated content.
Yeah, and the best part is, so far, the feedback's been great. I've been hearing from the advertising corporate partners at Verizon. They're like excited to see what more I offer. I also launched a lifestyle vlog by Christian Grant. She's an entrepreneur and businesswoman out of Michigan that she does different like episodes. She started on YouTube where she's doing conversations on mental health, which we were talking about earlier, real estate investing, parenting. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to have something that is informative as well as entertaining, you know, and it's universal enough for men and women. And she's doing a great job with that. It's her platform's called Mama and Mogul. And, you know, we've got about four episodes up, and we're going to have more episodes of that coming up.
Oh, I love it. She and I have some things in common just by the name.
Eminem, Mama and Mogul. Yep. Yeah, she's doing her thing, man. Dope. And, I'm working on an animated film series that's in development. It's being edited. Yeah.
Yo,
what's up, man?
I'm hyped.
Yeah.
I just got to go to post-production to score the music, but the first episode is called Weed Rabbi. And it's a rabbi. It's a comedy. It's a rabbi who sells weed because he's capitalizing on the legalization of marijuana.
Why you know not? What
I'm saying? I gotta send y'all a clip. Y'all gonna cry laughing.
Please do.
This clip I got.
I can't wait.
Voiceovers. Check it out. We got voiceovers that's mocking similar voices like Snoop Dogg and Michael Rapaport. So imagine a voice that sounds like Michael Rapaport playing a rabbi.
I can't.
But animated.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Selling weed. Yo.
That's awesome, man.
There was the script was created by a creator named Jonathan Bowman, really talented guy, also from the Midwest. He came to me actually just to consult him on developing his scripts. And then a friend of mine out of Texas referred the animator, and we just went for it, you know. And
that's
we
so
just
dope.
Started getting the footage back, and it's looking crazy.
We're excited. We can't wait to hear more about that. We'll have to bring you back on.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
We're moving fast. Quarter one, quarter two.
I would say book. Let's book me right after the Trina record drop, which is February 12th, Valentine's weekend. And I want to share some content. Is there a way we could stream little clips of stuff through your platform?
Yes, we can, right through here. Absolutely. So if you send
me the clips,
I can have them.
That's what I want to do. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. All right. So I'll hit you and we'll coordinate separately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited. I really appreciate y'all supporting your time and energy at the top of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're still dope, man. You got our support for life.
I'm trying.
We love our guests because the energy is always great. You know, you're super talented. And then you're also grounded and you're respectful.
I try. Because intelligent. I've been in this business long enough to be smart enough to like focus on the work and not the hype. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Because nothing is promised. You know, you can be here, then you can be here. You know what I'm saying? So
easily.
You know, if I just focus on the work, then I'm blessed from that. You know what I mean? And I like to create and I like to create opportunities for other people. So
I love that you said that. We talk about that often. I feel like that's the key to life. You know what I mean? That's the key to growth. You're grateful because you've learned how to do something. You've been able to monetize it and do well for yourself. Yeah. It's your job now to take this skill set, pass it on to someone else, become their mentor, or however many other people you can help to inspire. Because if you're not passing on this knowledge, you know, we're not going to be here forever. If you're not helping to create other opportunities, like opportunities were created for you, what are you doing? You're doing not just yourself a disservice, but others as well. So I love that you have that pay it forward. This is why we love you.
You're reading my mind.
Oh, it's crazy. I was just on the phone with K-Cut of Main Source, Legendary Main Source, and introduced Nas to the World on their first album. Because some years back, we curated a reissued vinyl release of that first album with a vinyl curating company, and it did so well amongst tastemakers that collect vinyl that it led to a reunion concert and then a tour of Europe, which we documented. That's one of the things on my platform is a documentary of short film. It's about maybe 35 minutes long, 40 minutes long, on touring with Main Source in Europe. Yeah, it's on the channel too. I'm sorry, I'll be forgetting, man.
No, listen, we're gonna pull it out of you today. FMI, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Going in the room, just super humble and just like hopping into the conversation. I love that. You know what I mean? Not a lot of guests could do that. And I appreciate that. The professionalism that you're doing today.
Thank you.
Energy. We need that energy in 2021. We need that energy, period, especially what's going on outside. So people like you legit just make my day when I come on here and I see everything that you do as a fellow content creator and a musician.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
I salute y'all, man, because y'all energy is amazing. Your energy is amazing. And I had a lot of fun when I got to visit y'all at the station, you know, when we first came on. Yeah. And me and Soup, definitely, we went in. We was to talk about culture.
That
was a dope episode. You know what I'm saying?
And
I definitely want to shout Soup again. I'm not sure if y'all are aware that he had survived a car accident. You know, he's recuperating. He's doing great. You know, we've been dialoguing about some new music. I want to put out some new music with Crossroads probably by the summer, like June.
Okay.
Because, you know, even from when we first met y'all, we recorded a whole summer in Detroit, over 40 records.
Wow.
And think about this. I'm telling you how many records recorded. And we only have two EPs out and two singles.
Right.
You see where I'm going. And the best part is none of the music is tired. It's timeless. I promise you. Like, I could play three records right now that may be considerably more than a year old, and it sound brand new.
Right.
You know,
But what I would like to do is
probably develop a body of work, you know, like now, and tie it in with some of what we already have, because I know he has a story to tell with the things he's been through in the last year or so.
You know
what I mean? And that's important, you know what I mean? As an artist, it's to voice your truth. You know, I feel like voicing your truth through music is what really connects to people's mind and spirit and lasts longer than anything. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. It's important for your fans too, you know?
Yeah.
Let them connect to your art. Sometimes they'll connect more to your story and then to your art.
You know I'm an album cut king. I just want to say that. I'm an album cut king. A lot of the records I've made throughout my career are the records on the album. It may not be the single, but then when you say, I heard that record, I love that record, thank you for your service, my job is done.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure because I want people to see. Make sure y'all follow Baby Paul. BPZY. Make sure y'all look at the name right there. Follow it, please.
Follow Instagram, all that.
Person with everything that he creates, a musician, energy. It's all of that. But what record would you want to get into so we can close out and do things that we got to do here?
Well, I know y'all appreciate Crossroads music, so I would say it's between one of the Crossroads records and the DJ No Frills record. Most of y'all, whichever one y'all want to go with.
All right, so give us both names, and then FMI will pick.
All right. The song is called "Time." If you pick a Crossroads record, because that was the most recent record we put out, and then a new record that I did called "Most of Y'all." You know, DJ No Frills, Drake Carter, Sharad Stiles. We have a video out for that too. It's out.
This man, he keeps busy, VPR.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get into this the time record.
Definitely. Okay, let's do it.
Time record.
I love this. Have y'all heard this yet?
I literally just
transferred everything to Dropbox.
Promise me this. After you hear it, and then hear it again in your cars or sound system, because the sonic sounds.
Believe me, I made sure I put that to my car.
All right, cool.
We're gonna get into this record, my brother.
The song structure of this record is really dope. That's what I love about it.
Great stuff.
Make sure I get that sound bar. Everybody, make sure y'all subscribe to the VPR channel on YouTube. I appreciate it so much. Let me get into this. Bring that back.
Time.
Look, I'll do that.
Existence swirl in the hourglass of my life. Every minute I'm giving, I'm suspending the time. Chop, watch the seconds to eliminate shine. If you give me some to rewind and bring big fruit back to this. Can't control the hands on this road you just show me. I don't know if I have it, but I'm running out of the most precious thing to a dying man is. On my grind, I'll be racing against the only thing you can't replace when you're using us. Behind these walls for cold sales that you're giving us. Counterclockwise, trying to reverse the chase of future because we live in a dangerous. I remember this one particular. I was sitting in court facing some heavy. Paying fees, they was taking up all of my.
LSB reminiscing,
talking about time. Wait for me in VPR. Make sure y'all follow this man. Make sure y'all follow the channel of God.
Make it count, you only got a short amount of time. When we was kids, we thought we had a whole lot of time. What happened before this moment? And everything living got its own space. And only thing really showed we existed was the trying to live forever and go the distance with the looks for no man that ain't consistent with the from the beginning.
Take out the references.
So these records that we have here,
bro,
when they're released, if they're released, I definitely want
to. Time is out. Time is in digital stores right now. That's out.
Okay, great. So, yeah, guys, the record that y'all just heard here, y'all can go on the VPR radio playlist right there on our Spotify. Actually, click the link in our Instagram and it will take you right to that. And you can listen to that song right there, along with all the great unsigned artists that we have here on VPR, because we really want to make sure they have the spotlight. That's what
we're for. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just like the lines he references. It's like the way Snoop thinks is crazy.
A lot of time.
he was mentioning Flavor Flav because of the clock. You know what I'm saying? He was mentioning from Back to the Future. Like, bro, dude is crazy.
Definitely got to make sure I go check out everything, because I really like. I don't even remember what time we spoke, but I think I sent those records at like.
10, 11 o'clock at night.
Maybe even 1 o'clock, whatever time it was last night.
Yeah,
I grabbed them all the time, making sure they're already down.
Making sure everything goes chop. So what's the next track that you want to get into?
I would go with the DJ No Frills record, because we have a song video out for that right now. It's called "Most of Y'all." It was recorded in Philly. Philly stand up. A lot of talent in Philly, man. You know, I know everybody. You know, shout to the Roots, shout to Meek Mill. You know, shout to the legendary Will Smith. You know, I've been able to tap into some new Philly. That's how I call it, new Philly, as far as new artists to look out for. You know what I mean? So, and FMI, for whatever we don't play while we're on the air, please listen to that folder. I promise you. Play it in your car. You won't be sorry.
I got you.
No doubt. And it's all going to go on our playlist for sure.
Yeah,
the records will be on our playlist. This is DJ No Frills.
That you watch how you loving. Serious, new rag. Any time of the day. Show me my new opponent. Verbal homicide, any beat I'm approaching. Heaven sent, raise hell with my inner demons are poking. Girl, there's so many
fish. Jimmy Carter, I was talking about. Yo, son, get busy. And I did like four songs for his new album. Yeah. That's Sherrod Starks on the hook, and he's the next verse.
Who's on the hook?
That's Sherrod Starks that I was talking about, and he does
okay,
the next
gotcha.
Verse.
This is big boy rap. This ain't no kid.
Guys, please make sure. I can't give you all the songs.
Yo, that's so funny. The snippets be like, wait, don't turn it down. But let me just say this in closing on that record. Imagine a young Kendrick and a young Pac on one record. Like just their tones. Just their tones. When I say that and you listen to the record again, you're gonna hear what I'm talking about.
I hear that. You know what I like about it? Honestly, what I take from the record is...
And they really rap. Those are... They lyrics. They really rap.
You said Devil in the Red... I was just like...
And I like
he took the beat and their flows are so different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that. Like, it showed the two personalities. I'm good.
I got a little quick trivia on the hook. Does the hook, the wording and the melody of the hook sound familiar?
Yeah, it's a melody I've heard before. I didn't put my hand on that. So I was just like,
did you catch it, Kiana?
What's good?
All right. Now I was asking if she caught it. Want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Juvenile, hot. Yeah, he just flipped that. Yeah.
That's how you create a hit.
Hell yeah!
You relate with and you create your own.
I just don't.
Yeah,
see if y'all caught that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like,
it went over my head.
You're a DJ,
so it hits your subconscious. Like, where do I?
I'm here. I'm hearing your vibe. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm listening on the computer, but
right. Of course.
Once again, Kiana, we appreciate all of our listeners for here on VPR. Make sure you follow the beautiful Kiana, the goddess.
Baby, absolutely.
I'm gonna keep saying it until y'all get it, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the amazing DJ FMI keeping us on.
Absolutely,
and you gotta Bless go and game. Follow super producer Baby Paul BPZ because he's super dope. You want to follow him and catch up with him. As you can see, he's down to earth. And artists, can artists that want to get some work done with you, can they just holler at you? Like, is it that
absolutely.
Easy process?
Absolutely. I do have a business email that I'll share real quick. Yeah. Very simple. It's BPZ. That's BPZY. BPZ.beats@gmail.com BPZ.beats@gmail.com
Perfect. So artists.
Serious inquiries only, of course.
Serious inquiries only. Make sure you have your budget. Make sure you have a concept. But link with him. You want to get some really great production, something to take your talent to the next level. Hit up somebody that's really doing it. We really appreciate you being here, man.
Definitely. Thank you. And once again, you can get your HTV free. Apple TV, Roku TV, Verizon, or your smart TV, 24/7 global streaming, music videos, live concerts, independent films, lifestyle blog. You know what I like? If y'all don't mind, and I'm a correspondent with you guys about this, would you like if I shared this episode on my platform?
Yes, please.
I would love that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
I want you to share all our episodes on your platform. How about that?
Yeah, let's have that conversation. Because this is fun. So all I would need is an MP4 format of the master once you
I can
archive it.
That'll be done in 5 minutes.
And we can work out everything else, and I'll get it up. And I want to tag and, you know, market your platform, you know, in correspondence with what I'm doing. And let's have some fun, man.
We We appreciate that. We are always.
It's everything BP's on HTV, so I gotta share, man.
And make sure you tell everybody that channel again. It's Hendrix TV, right? How can they
Hendrix
go
to TV? HTV or Apple TV, Roku TV, or Verizon. Go to your smart TV, type in Hendrix TV. You see the icon is black and white with the letters HTV. It's free, no subscription fee. Just add it to your smart channel, you know, your smart TV, and 24/7 streaming. Cool. You might see a couple of commercials. Thank God I got a couple of whitelisted corporate ads popping in from McDonald's, Nike,
great
Apple.
Stuff.
Yeah, so that's how I'm paying the bills. Thank you, Lord.
Go and support you guys. There's nothing like supporting people that are uplifting and that are out here helping others. We love to support our brothers and sisters, people of color that are out here doing great things. So go and support. This guy is phenomenal, and he's super talented, and he's curated this content just for you. So if you love hip hop, you love music, independent film, you want to be a filmmaker, artist, whatever, go check him out and follow that channel, man. And make sure you guys follow him on Twitter, Instagram, and everything else, because it's all love, man. Each one teach one.
Thank you for having me. Blessings to you both, man. Thank
you
so much.
To you as well. Just one last thing, because we love to leave our show with like really great words of encouragement or power or inspiration. What would you like to tell all of our audience right now?
I would just say, for starters, let's be careful in this COVID era. It's not over.
Yeah.
You know, please social distance. Please wear your mask if you're out in public. You know, I want to send, you know, my condolences to those who suffered and, you know, experienced losses in the past year. It can only get better. Let's be safe out here. I heard a storm in the White House yesterday over this Trump thing. You know, it's like, it's always something. And I want to give a quick shout out to Dr. Dre. I hope he feels better soon. I heard he had an aneurysm.
Aneurysm.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught that in the media. Yeah.
But yeah, like,
the last couple days.
I think he's got it out since.
Yeah. So hopefully, because he's a legend, man. Like, I put him up there as the hip hop Quincy Jones. So, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, just, you know, be yourself. Be consistent with anything you do. Fight for what you believe in. Never give up on yourself. Never let money, you know, be the influence on your decision making. You know, maintain your integrity. You know, art is life. And do smart business. You know what I'm saying? And be willing to pay it forward when you have the opportunity to help others, because that's your blessing in itself.
Amen. Yo, he said it all.
Yeah, he did.
I try not to miss nothing, man.
What more can I say in my Jay-Z voice?
That's a perfect ending.
Yeah, you're amazing. We appreciate you. Talk soon, and I'll get you this file when we're all done.
Yeah, and I want to say one last thing. In the immortal words of the legendary Russell Simmons, thank you, God bless, and good night.
I love it. Word. That was just classic, right, man. I love it.
Peace.
My brother, man.
Peace out, all right.
Bro. Bless, man.
We appreciate everyone that was tuned in. Thank you so much for watching us. You know, our audience, we keep growing. I was looking at some more of our countries that have just joined. We are in so many different countries, FMI. Like our America, we used to be at like 96% America and then countries. Now we're at like 88% America, and all these different countries that are tuning in. It makes me feel so good that our content is out there and people appreciate what we're doing and they keep tuning in. So, man, it's all love, man. Happy 2021 to all y'all. How you feeling, FMI?
I'm happy. I'm sitting here, like I said, it's a blessing every day Thursday when I wake up and I get to spend time with the viewers, listeners, our families. Basically, I'm gonna call y'all fam, because we be out here with each other. We'll be rocking with each other. Shout out to everybody that watches us. Kiana, like I said, I'm glad to wake up and shoot the breeze with you and talk about something and maybe impact some people's lives.
Right.
And that's really what I want to do here, in whatever way I can. You know what I mean? So keep tuning in. We'll keep trying to, you know, bring you the best content.
That's right. Good. And BPZ said it, like, don't let money be your driving force. Maintain 100%. Your integrity. And we're going to keep doing that. We love being able to deliver content to you guys. So tune in next week. We've got another dope group coming on. And it's just going to be, listen, we're lined up now till April. So I will say this, anybody that's looking and they're like, how do I get on VPR? My artist has a concert next month. I should call whomever. No, 3 months plus. Okay, that's how far we're booked. If you want to get a booking, send that email now, vpr.radio@gmail.com. Send your music. Make sure you include your press kit, et cetera, et cetera. Keep it professional, and we'll accommodate you.
Also, for for the YouTube channel for VPR. All of our videos, like here, the live streams are starting to be uploaded to our YouTube, so you guys can catch up and watch and get a feel for our energy. Because I know when you hear our voices, and it's great because I know you love our voices, but I know some of you want to see our faces too. So we're having that on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, because we need it, we appreciate it, and we love you guys.
Definitely. We'll see you next week. Love you for watching, and everybody take care. Later, bro.
Wash your hands, everybody.
Wash your hands and mask it up. Bye. Later, guys.
Later, guys.
VPR Radio with my girl Kiana and my DJ FMI.
Don't say I can't.
Opposite of a winner, remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? I'm so Long Island, my swag bar. My yard ain't 28 by 100, then why I bother? I know no nigga from South Harlem, Brett Favre, Brooklyn, that's on cue when I set Marvin. You a rapper, you ass betting, a billionaire. You talking to him, a social media millionaire, flee. Lex Coop, the Beamer's in the band. To all of my ladies and my men, and all of my people going in. Keep your head up, we doing good. 3 million, 4 million worldwide.